Hi, it's Alonzo Bowden, and I'm here to talk to you again about driving with Uber. You know it. We've talked about it before. It's a great way to make money. You've got everything you need right in front of you. What do you need? You need a car and a license. You've got those. Driving with Uber is a great way to make some extra money. And how about this? You're your own boss. You set your own hours. You drive when you want and where you want. We're all familiar with Uber by now. This isn't any news. We've probably all been in the Uber. I know I have. You know, I drop a motorcycle off at the shop. I got to get home. Who do I call? I call an Uber. Get home safe and sound, and there's room in the car for my jacket and helmet. And because you'll be one of the drivers and you're a great driver, I won't actually need to wear my helmet while I'm riding in an Uber. All kidding aside, driving with Uber is a great way to make some extra money. Like I said, you're no longer part of the 9-to-5 world. You can set your own hours, okay? You got a car, you got a license, city's buzzing, people got to get from point A to point B, you're there to help them. You know what that is? That's work. That's money in your pocket. No boss, nobody breathing down your neck. You're driving the car, you know when you can work, you know where you can work, you do your own thing. It's a great way to make some extra money. So what are you waiting for? No, really, what are you waiting for? You have a car, you have a license, put them to use, start making money today, okay? Driving with Uber is a great way to make money. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Did you hear me? Drivewithuber.com. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in to episode 117 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I am up in Bellevue, Washington, working at Parlor Live this weekend. Great town and a great club, and well, let's get into it. You know, this is the beauty of this time of year. Football season is about to start, where we can finally get a break from real life and not have to deal with, court issues and lawyers and just, wait a minute. Guess I'm wrong on that one. Yeah, we'll get to Tom Brady in a minute. But first, let's do our, and I think at this point it's going to have to be, even though I don't want it to be, a weekly presidential election update starring Donald Trump. You know him, you love him, and he won't go away. Our latest Trump news has he and Jeb Bush getting into, I don't know if it's a feud as much as maybe just a hissy fit. And with what's going on, I wonder what the Trump campaign would be without Twitter. Where would Trump be without Twitter? Who could he talk to? Well, anyway, this one started when Jeb Bush said that Donald Trump isn't the conservative he claims to be, and he got quotes from Donald Trump in the past. One of them said, Donald Trump said, I'm a lifelong New Yorker and my views might be a little different than those in Iowa, which is a bit of an insult since that's where the primary is going to be in Iowa. Another one, Trump talks about support for Hillary Clinton. We've heard that one before. And Jeb is saying that Trump is not a true conservative. So Trump fires back on Twitter basically that, well, Jeb, now you're another one of these desperate candidates trying to fight me. And then, of course, he got on Jeb because Jeb did part of a campaign speech in Spanish to try to appeal to Latino voters and act like he cares. And, of course, Trump said that English should be the official language of our country and blah, 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 blah. So we have two rich old white men are trying to out rich old white men each other. I'm more of a rich old white man than you are. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm richer. And I think actually in that battle, you got to say Jeb Bush is more rich old white man than Trump because I believe he's older. I don't think his family's richer, but we don't know how much money Trump has because of the bankruptcies and the billions and the blah, blah, blah. But Bush got that old Bush family power going on. So we got that. And in other election news, Hillary Clinton is once again... she said she's going to testify to Congress, something about some emails, but the person who set up the email account isn't going to testify at Congress, claiming the Fifth Amendment and blah. We're going to go back and forth over this email thing until it gets some traction and they can actually prove she was behind the whole Benghazi thing. And finally, in the presidential election. And, well, this isn't final, but it might be the funniest thing in the presidential election. This talk of Ben Carson trending in Iowa. And I admire the reporters and the pundits and the talking heads, et cetera, who sit up there with a straight face and would have you believe that the black candidate is going to has any chance of winning the Republican Party. Really? Have you seen the groups that are supporting Donald Trump? Somehow, I don't think they're going to exactly go with the black candidate. What's happening with Ben Carson is there's a group of people, and it's very funny, right? Because Trump is the anti-politician candidate, right? So you have people who hate politicians, hate Washington, D.C., hate the system, and they say, we support Donald Trump because he is not part of that. And then you have these evangelicals, Republicans, who are like, well, not only do we hate the whole system, we also hate Donald Trump, so we're going to support Ben Carson because Ben Carson will occasionally say some biblical and or religious thing, which is always great. I always love when they love the biblical candidate, but they hate biblical law. They love biblical law. They hate Sharia law because that's from the wrong God. I'm going to get into that later. Don't think I'm not. We got something to talk about there. But anyway, that's my presidential update. So remember, kids, Trump versus Bush to see who's more conservative. Hillary's hidden emails and Ben Carson is going to win Iowa. And that story was brought to you by a unicorn riding a rainbow, which is about how much chance Ben Carson has of winning Iowa. Okay, now let's talk about what's important. Football, football, football. Tom Brady wins again. This is great. So for those who don't know, and it's impossible for you not to know, right? Because I think this actually got more coverage than the presidential election. Tom Brady is the quarterback of the New England Patriots. The footballs that he was using in a playoff game last season were underinflated according to the rules of the NFL. Supposedly, he knew about it. We don't know if he knew about it because the cell phone he was using at that time to text the equipment guys somehow disappeared. Tom got rid of it. So the Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, had accusations, had a mystery witness, but didn't have any actual proof. So he wanted to suspend Tom Brady for 4 games. Well, you can't suspend Tom Brady for 4 games because Tom Brady, when he's not working on Sundays, I think sits next to Jesus. I'm just saying, he's a big star. A lot of people love him. Me personally, all right, what do they call it? I got to reveal, I'm not a Patriots fan. I grew up in New York. I literally, it's in my DNA to not be a fan of anything Boston. Patriots won the Super Bowl last year. They didn't win it as much as the Seattle Seahawks lost it. But anyway, Tom Brady won again. He's married to a supermodel. He's a quarterback, all-American guy, suspended for 4 games for cheating. Now, of course, Tom wasn't going to take this lying down. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots and also one of the more powerful owners in the league, said something is wrong here, but said he wouldn't really undercut Goodell because Roger Goodell is his guy. Roger Goodell has made the league billions of dollars and kept the players in line pretty well as far as the players' union agreement. So the owners don't want to really cut his legs out, but you don't mess with Tom Brady. You don't mess with Tom Brady. So Tom Brady took this suspension to court. And today, the court overturned the suspension. And now Roger Goodell looks like a powerless idiot, even though he is commissioner of the NFL. In my opinion, he should have went for maybe a 1 game, maybe tops 2 game suspension. Then Tom Brady might have agreed to it. And mind you, you don't suspend Tom Brady. You don't suspend Tom Brady unless Tom Brady agrees to be suspended. You understand? That's your first mistake. Might have agreed to a game, maybe 2 games. No way he's going to go for 4 games. And can't really blame him, considering players that beat women only got 2-game suspensions, or a 4-game suspension, or a full season suspension as it went on and on. So the bottom line, Roger Goodell, who runs the NFL, has no control over players in the NFL, or at least no control over Tom Brady. You mess with Tom Brady. What the hell's wrong with you? So the worst of Tom Brady's penalties in this tire, they call it Deflategate. You know, they love throwing gate on the back of anything. Personal pet peeve of mine after Watergate, but they love it. The biggest penalty was a horrible rendition of him drawn by the court sketch artist during the trial. So, Tom, you have to live with that. There is a picture out there of you looking less than perfect. Roger Goodell, you are the worst boss ever. Okay, does that cover it, football? No. It's actually, and I'm curious how this story is going to play out because I read about this years ago and it was fascinating to me. So there's a movie coming up, and it's called, it's about concussions, and it's about the NFL concussions. Now, you may or may not know this, but some years ago, there was a doctor, Bennett Omalu, and he's a pathologist. He examines brains of people after they've died, and he examined the brain of an ex-football player who I believe had committed suicide. Anyway, he thought this brain came out of a man who was like 70 years old or whatever, and it turned out this was the brain of an athlete who was in his 30s, maybe 40. So, Dr. Omalu was like, wait a minute, what the hell? Now, mind you, this is a Nigerian doctor, so he doesn't know football, he doesn't know the culture of the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't know the importance of the NFL to the United States culture and so on. So he examines a few more players' brains, and he was the first one to notice that these concussions that these players are suffering is causing brain damage that lasts, you know, a lasting brain damage beyond their playing career, shortens their lives. We know of certain players who have committed suicide and their brains were damaged. Not damaged in the sense of in some cases it was damaged in the sense of, you know, losing faculties, losing speech or balance or some passing out at various times. But their brains were damaged. And he was like outraged and he thought something should be done. And that's when he found out the power of the NFL, and he was shut down. And so it's actually a pretty dramatic story. Should make for a great movie, and the movie's going to star Will Smith, which should also make for a great movie because Will Smith is a great actor. Well, apparently the NFL is powerful because the New York Times posted a story that they found from the emails from Sony being hacked that there have been major changes in the script of this movie. And you better believe these changes came from pressure from the NFL. So it's going to be a good movie. It's not going to be as good as it could have been. The NFL was the villain in this movie. And according to the story from the New York Times and Bleacher Report and any other sports thing that's covered, this movie is going to be toned down. So it should be interesting to see how good it is. But it would have been phenomenal to see the first draft of the script. Apparently that was the one that really went after the NFL and made them the bad guys. So let's hope for a great movie. And continuing the NFL, I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, football, and I like football, but it has turned into a soap opera. It is a series of soap opera type stories happening on and off the field, underinflated footballs, abused women, players beating up other players, and it's a mess. But you know, Roger Goodell's in charge, so everything should be cleaned up. What else is going on in sports world? Kurt Schilling, talked about him a bit last week, his anti-Muslim compared to Nazi tweet. Basically ESPN said he's done for this season. He won't be covering any more baseball this season, and somehow I don't think we're gonna miss him. In another ongoing story, and I hate that this is an ongoing story, police shooting unarmed civilians, police getting shot, and now the worst of it, police shooting police. So, you know, we all know the stories of the police questionable, I'm being generous here. Wow, I'm being like the NFL with this movie. Forget questionable. We know stories of police killing people, and we know stories of people dying in police custody under suspicious or strange circumstances. That is the case with Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray, as you know, was a man in Baltimore who was arrested and mysteriously died while in police custody, 24 years old, healthy. Didn't make it. So The judge in this case has ruled that there will be six separate trials for the six police involved. He has also threw out there, they tried to say that the state prosecutor was prejudiced against them because during the riots in Baltimore, she said that she was going to get to the bottom of this, and they said, well, that's prejudiced against us. Fellas, she's a prosecutor. You're the accused. Yeah, she's prejudiced against you. She thinks you did it. That's her job. So we have that going on. At the same time, and this is just as bad, terrible, et cetera, et cetera, police are getting shot. Very interesting. Most recently, we know there was a cop shot in Illinois. Okay. Then Darren Goforth, a suburban Houston cop, shot while putting gas in his car. Harry Nelson, an officer in Louisiana, was shot responding to a domestic violence call. Another Louisiana state trooper was shot in the head while assisting a motorist on the side of the road. So there are people killing cops, and it is wrong. They're trying to twist it, blame it on Black Lives Matter, etc. Forget all of that. That's all ridiculous. The bad thing is there are people shooting cops, and it's wrong. The interesting thing is, with all the publicity it's getting, there are actually fewer cops being shot this year than there were last year. I didn't say it was a good thing. I said it was an interesting thing. As of this point, September in 2014, there were 30 shootings, and September 2015, there have been 26 so far. And that's only, 26 too many. I know cops. I've said it before. I've done shows for cops. I've interacted with cops. Cops aren't all bad. Cops certainly don't deserve to be shot while doing their jobs. These are people who are twisted, who are wrong, and it shouldn't happen. But, you know, this is where we're at. And like I say, the worst case in this is when the two come together, whether, you know, the cop killing the civilian, the civilian killing the cop. Well, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, apparently Lieutenant Greg Brakel, may have pronounced it wrong, he unloaded his clip into an undercover cop named Detective Jacob Grant. Jacob Grant was involved in a drug buy last January. It was a sting operation. Grant knew about the sting. The police knew about the sting. There were codes. The outfit he was wearing was a code to let cops know that he was a cop. His position in the car, one cop sat behind the other cop in the car. That was a code to let the other cops know he was a cop. And the worst thing of all, this is the most amazing part, they knew each other. Brashel or Brakel, whatever, however you pronounce it, he knew Grant. He knew the cop that he shot. And he just walked up to the car and he shot this guy. And apparently there was no threat. He walked up, he put two bullets into Grant at point blank range, then fired seven more times as Grant tried to crawl away while he was yelling, "Please stop shooting." And the amazing thing is, the actual drug dealers in the sting, in the drug buy, were standing on the other side of the car being arrested by other cops. It is insane. It is insane. I don't know what the answer is. How do you even deal with that? When a cop shoots an unarmed cop during a drug buy that he knew was a cop. It is unbelievable. People, I hope we figure out something. The LAPD is issuing body cams. We're going to have body cameras on the cops. I don't know, man. It's tough being a cop. It's tough being a person in the street. Damn, I don't know what we're doing. So I'm going to leave it at that. I wish I had the answer. I don't even know if I have an opinion. But I know the cop shooting the cop during a drug sting where he knew it. Why isn't that cop in jail right away? That's what I don't understand in these cases. If it was any other situation, like if you walked up to a car, say you're an Oath Keeper. Yeah, you know how I feel about those knuckleheads. And you walked up to a car and just started shooting a guy in the car because you thought a drug deal was going down. I think they arrest you for that and you go to jail and then you figure out what happened. I don't know. speaking of going to jail, let's talk about, I was going to say everyone's favorite prisoner, but no, I'll just say, you know, thinking people's favorite prisoner, or maybe a prisoner who just, well, we, in the, this is the United States, okay? And if you're listening to my podcast, you probably going to go along with me on this, that we are a nation of laws. Plain and simple, we are a nation of laws. There's a separation of church and state and so on. Word hasn't got to Kim Davis down in Kentucky. Kim Davis is the clerk, county clerk, whatever, who's supposed to be issuing marriage licenses, and she has refused to issue marriage licenses because she says that, oh, gay couples may have a constitutional right to marry. The Supreme Court may have said it was legal for gay couples to get married, but my Bible said different. That's right. My Bible said different, and I'm answering to a higher judge. So she, it's amazing. She's actually going to jail for contempt of court for not issuing marriage license to gay people. And it just, you can't do that. You can't, okay, this is the United States of America. You can't not do your job because you think you believe otherwise. Now, the funny part of this, the super hypocritical, comically hypocritical part of this is these same people, these biblical people, and I say it with this sense of irony because this has nothing to do with the Bible or religion or Jesus's teachings or anything good in the Bible. This is discrimination and hatred covered by the, they're using the Bible as a cover. But anyway, oh, and fear. Don't forget fear. Fear is a big part of what causes people to do these things. But anyway, she's not doing her job. She's not issuing these licenses based on her religious beliefs. So now she's held in contempt of court and she's going to jail. It's a judge. And when a judge says you have to issue these licenses and you say, no, I won't issue these licenses, now you go to jail. Now, here's the funny part. Did I say hypocritical earlier? Okay. Kim Davis has been married 4 times. This is her second time now. She's only had 3 husbands. The husband she's married to now, and this is confusing and hard to follow, she's been married to him twice. So she married her first husband in 1994. Then she divorced him and then had 2 kids while she was not married. Then she married the second husband again. No, the first time she married him in 96, then divorced him in 2006. Then in 2007, she married Thomas McIntyre, and that marriage lasted less than a year. Then in 2009, she went back and married Joe Davis again. That was the second guy from 1996. So basically, she knows about the sanctity of marriage because she keeps doing it. She keeps doing it to make sure it's still sacred. So every couple of years, she's like, you know what? I should get divorced, and then I'm going to get married again to make sure it's still sacred. Is marriage still sacred? Well, it was the last time I did it. But you know something? That was 2 years ago. I think I'm going to get married again. This is comical. And it literally could be a who's on first comedy type. Who'd she marry? I don't know. Third base. It would be funny if it wasn't so serious. If it wasn't such an amazing affront to the laws and the constitution of this nation that separates church and state for exactly this reason. This is the exact reason that the powers of church and state are separate. So listen, if you have a religious problem with doing your job, quit your job. You don't just go to work and decide what you're not supposed to do, not allowed to do. The other thing that's really comical to me is Marco Rubio and Mike Huckabee, and I'm sure the bunch of others, but some of these Republican, and yeah, they are only Republicans. They're trying to back her on this. They're saying she's a victim. She's a victim of religious persecution, etc. Really? So you guys want to run for president and allow biblical law to supersede constitutional law? Is that anything like Sharia law? Oh, I forgot. Sharia law is the wrong Bible. That's Islam. They're horrible because they're operating under biblical law. They are horrible. They're not like good old Americans who are operating under Jesus' biblical law. Listen, this has nothing to do with Jesus or the Bible or religion. This is discrimination. This is the Bible being twisted and manipulated and used in the worst way possible. This woman, Kim Davis, good, she's in jail, and now she's going to be some kind of right-wing hero. And, well, she better call Joe the plumber and find out. You better cash in quick because it ain't going to last. That's all I got this week. That's my podcast. That's who's paying attention. You guys know what go. No, lost the ability to talk, so I guess I should wrap this up. You guys know what's going on out there. I love and appreciate you for listening. As I said, this weekend I'm at Parlor Live. Next weekend I'll be in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Dr. Grin's. And September 19th I will be in Carlsbad at the Carlsbad Village Theater. Thank you for listening. Thanks for paying attention. Hey, it's Labor Day weekend. Barbecue. Hang out. Find a pool. Have some fun. Enjoy it. Summer's coming to an end. Football season's starting. And we got some court cases to track. Love you guys. Thank you and good night.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.